2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. I'm going to read from the New King Jimmy. You follow along in whatever translation that you have, okay? But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope, by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Father, open our eyes. Give us spiritual renewing and refreshing to receive your word. Give us revelation of the Holy Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last night, we looked at 10 signs, just quickly. We didn't study them. I wanted to just emphasize one point that I think is so critical, and it's this one right here. Third World War led by an Arab-Russian coalition. Ezekiel 38 and 39 gives us detail about that. Gog and Magog. That's Russia. Don't have time to go into the detail of that. I go into detail on that, how we know that. But they're aligned with Persia. Persia is Iran today. See, most people today don't understand Iran was never Muslim. Not until Jimmy Carter gave Iran away to the Khomeini. Previous to that, they were Persian. And they were not Muslim. And they were not under an Islam kingdom. It wasn't until Jimmy Carter in the 1970s made that deal with them that ousted the king and brought in Khomeini, who had, by the way, had been thrown out because he was trying to make the nation Muslim. And now, of course, they're given over to Islam. But do you know one of the leading revivals in the world right now is going on in Iran? At great cost to the believers. But we're seeing this very thing happen. See, if people go, well, but that has to do with Syria. Dear ones, listen to me. No, Syria is just the excuse. Their target is Israel. At the very time our Secretary of State was signing the deal with Iran, in Iran, the Khomeini was declaring that Israel will be driven into the sea. At the very time they're signing the deal. In fact, while they were signing the deal, his latest book was being released that gives the plan that they have outlined for destroying Israel and bringing the nation Israel to extinction. But dear ones, listen to me. God has made a covenant with Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself declared that when Jerusalem comes back again, that he said, Jerusalem will be trampled under the feet of Gentile. It will be destroyed. It will no longer be the capital. Israel will cease to exist. But when Israel comes back into existence again, and when Jerusalem becomes the capital city of Israel again, the times of the Gentiles will cease to exist. And lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. We are in that time. And trust me, dear ones, God will defend the apple of His eye. No matter what the UN does. Now, we are seeing this. And so the Apostle Paul is giving them instructions regarding the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church. And so then he begins to address, listen, in view of that, this is how you need to be living. And we talked about last night, we have to be committed to the faith. And we have to be committed to the faith in these ways. We got to receive the love of the truth. We have to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And we have to be committed to living a holy life. That was our study last night. But then he moves from that into what we just read tonight. And I want to paraphrase it in these words. We must know who we are in Jesus Christ. And we must understand God's original design and intent. Why? Because when we lose that vision, the church lives unrestrained. When the church loses that vision, she begins to compromise and she becomes a friend to the world. Clear back in the 1960s and early 70s, when the church began to have this mantra, we got to be like them to win them, I said, find that for me in Scripture. It's not there. And when the church, and this was the whole, this was the core of the church growth model, and that was you do church in a way that the world will enjoy and will want to come to. And I went, wait. Where do you find that in Scripture? You do church to please the living God, not to please the world. We got it upside down, and so now we have this mess, and we wonder how come America is not saved, even though we have the most church attendance maybe in the history of America, and we certainly have the largest churches in the history of America. At least they call themselves a church. I wonder if they're a church or if they're a positive motivation factory. Because we're not doing church to please the living God. We're doing it to please the flesh. You're going to have to go to my blog site and read a blog. I wrote about this some time ago. I talked about smoke and fire. Now, when we talk about smoke and fire in the church today, we're not talking about Holy Spirit. We're talking about having the lights off and having a spotlight on the stage, and we're having smoke up there, and you've got people, and it's all about entertainment, and it's about the flesh. If you wonder whether that's true or not, how else do you explain when we write a quote-unquote worship song that talks about a sloppy, wet kiss? What in the world does that have to do with worshiping the living God? That's all about flesh. And when you shut off the lights and you put the spotlights on the stage, it's all about flesh. It's all about entertainment. We have lost the concept of God. And if I'm offending you right now, good. Because you got to come back to what it's about. And the whole reason we're in this mess, church, is because we have forgotten who we are and we've lost our focus. And the Apostle Paul knew the danger of that, and so he was reminding them of their identity and God's original design and his original intent. And he said, you were chosen for salvation, sanctification, and glory. Now, what does that mean? We're chosen. We're chosen. Well, go with me, would you please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 in your Holy Scripture. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing the church at Ephesus, and Ephesians is one of my favorite books, and it's the core of my third book in this series on living free. And here's what he said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, having made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now match that with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 when he said, in the beginning had chosen you. See, before the foundation of the world, before God ever started Genesis 1 and 2, when it was still Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. When God said, let us make man in our own image, before that He said, let us choose them to be holy, without blame, before us in love. Before the foundation of the world, He chose us. Now, how is that? You see, now some start getting really, really nervous. Then does that mean there's some chosen, some not chosen? Well, God's foreknowledge lets Him know the decisions, how you're going to use your volition, and the decisions you're going to make. See, He knows that. Before He ever created the world, He already knew you. He knew you by name. He had you written in His book. He knew how tall you would be, how short you would be, how skinny you would be, how like me you would be. He knew it all. He knew how much hair you would have. The cool thing, see, you think, oh, but you're bald. I'm just making it easy on God. He didn't have to count very much. You know how it goes. God only made a few perfect heads in the world. The rest He covered with hair.
Amen.
I got a Montana story I could tell you about that, but I won't go there. We don't have enough time. But God created us. He knew us, but He also knew the decisions we would make, and He knew that you would make the decision to repent of your sin and to turn to Him and make Him Lord of your life and to love Him and serve Him with all your heart. And so God said, I'm going to choose you because I know you. See, that's the whole thing. Esau, he's hated, but Jacob, he loved. What's that all about? God knew the decisions Esau would make. And so God hated what Esau would do, but God loved Jacob because He knew there would come a day when Jacob would wrestle with Him and say, I'm not turning loose until you bless me and change me from being a chief into a king for Israel. Amen? See, that God knew. That's why He said God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It's not so much that God hardened his heart. God knew what Pharaoh would decide, and He knew how Pharaoh would relent and then change his mind. And then his heart just got harder and harder until finally he drowned his entire army in the Red Sea because he would not yield to God. And those who make that decision to yield to God, God knows that. And God chooses you. And He predestines you. He chose you for salvation. The word salvation there in 2 Thessalonians 13 has the root word sozo in it. Sozo means to heal, to mend, to restore, to rescue from destruction. And it's a beautiful word. And God chose you to be rescued and to be restored and to be healed. through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, at the very core of that is what we saw in Ephesians 1. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, in the Scripture, there are three words that are used for redeemed. And they're the root words for the word redemption there. The first one is lutrao. And it literally means to pay the ransom price. In 1 Peter 1:18, Peter said that we have not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by His precious blood. See, He paid the price, right? Agorazao means to go to the market, to the slave market, and purchase a slave. And that's what He says here in Revelation 5:9, that we have been redeemed to God by Your blood. You went to the slave market and You purchased us. You redeemed us out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. Hallelujah. The third word is ek agorazo. Ek agorazo means this. I love this. It means to buy from the slave market and they never go back to slavery again. And that is the word that's used in Galatians 3:13 when it says that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Listen, that the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles and that we might receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased us out of slavery. And we never go back to slavery again because we are now under the blessings of Abraham. No wonder he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Amen? Because we've been redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? See, you're saved. Jesus saved you. That's who you are. You are saved. But not only are you saved, you're sanctified. Next slide for me, please. Jesus sanctifies you. Hagiazao comes from the root word hagios. That's translated holy. Holy. What's going on here? Well, it means to be pure, to be without defilement. To be consecrated. To be without defilement. Here's the beautiful thing, okay? I love this. When Jesus Christ saves you, when He redeems you, He brings you to Heavenly Father, and Heavenly Father makes a divine declaration over your life. This is what He says. I've made a covenant with you. I'll put My law in your heart, on your mind will I write it, and your sin and iniquity I will remember no more. That's the covenant I've made with you. And so today I declare you justified. Not just acquitted. See, human courts acquit people. Well, that's good. That's good. But listen, God doesn't just give us acquittal. God gives us justification. That means we are just as if we had never sinned. Now, you and I know we've sinned. You and I know that we've taken His name in vain. You and I know we didn't honor His holy day. You and I know we put other things as gods before Him. You and I know that we have maybe committed adultery with our eyes or with our heart, that we maybe stole something, that we have coveted, that we maybe have murdered someone with our tongue, But listen, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, when you come to Him and you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God says, this is the covenant I've made with you. And today I make a divine declaration. You are as if you had never sinned. As far as I am concerned, you've never sinned. You are justified. You are redeemed. That's the first part of sanctification. But there's a second part to it that I love. He not only declares you to be just as if you had never sinned. A part of that divine fiat is He declares you to be the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love it. God's double entry bookkeeping. On the one hand, He takes out of your account that you were ever a sinner, that you ever did anything. He has no memory that you ever sinned, that you ever missed the mark, that you ever stepped over the line, that you were ever stubborn and self-willed, and that you were ever selfish. He takes all of that out of your account. But now you have an empty file, right? You have an empty file because, I mean, He took all that out, but there's no good in you. Oh, but that damages our psyche. It needed to be damaged. Because to be honest with you, you were already brain damaged anyway. Because of sin. Because of iniquity. If that was not so, how come your mommy and daddy had to teach you to tell the truth and not teach you how to lie? How come your mom and daddy had to teach you to be honest instead of teaching you how to steal? Come on. How come mom and daddy had to teach you to not be selfish? They didn't have to teach you how to be selfish. You knew that very well. You knew that when you were still in the crib. There's not a baby born that has come home and said, I know you're really busy, Mama, and I know that you just got home from the hospital, and I'm sure you're really, really tired and exhausted. And so because I know that, when you get time and when you feel up to it, would you please come and give me a nipple? Never. They go, I don't care how tired you are, how late you are, I need it now! Come on. They came out of that womb selfish, yep. Self-centered, yep. And it didn't change when you got to be 40. Yep. And so Almighty God, He empties that file of all that stuff, and then in place of it, He puts the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, that's your identity. You are now a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're redeemed and you're sanctified by God's divine declaration. But we don't live like it. That's God's divine declaration. But has anybody besides me noticed? It would rise up in me. I'm always the one that says I'm wrong. She can come and say she's wrong once in a lifetime. Don't look at me like that, sir. You've been there too. I don't want to watch a chick flick. I want to watch John Wayne tonight. What's that? So what does Almighty God do? Watch this. Almighty God takes our life and He consecrates us to holiness. And we're no longer for common use. Remember Moses' tabernacle and the temple of Solomon? They couldn't take those forks and those plates and those utensils and go, you know what? We're going to go camping this weekend and we'll just use these. No. They were exclusively to be used for the worship of Almighty God. Amen? See, they were sanctified. They were sprinkled with the blood. Remember? Everything was sprinkled with the blood. Moses sprinkled everything with the blood. And they were to only be used for that. And Almighty God says, child, now I've declared you to be as if you'd never sinned. And I have imparted to you the righteousness of my Son, Jesus Christ. Now I am setting you apart, and you will no longer live like the world. You will no longer think like the world. I want to renew your mind, and I want to take the members of your body, and I want to use them for righteousness. This is the whole Romans 6 thing, right? What shall we say then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen? Come on. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And if you get down to verse 13, he said that we, because that's who we are, the members of our body become instruments of righteousness. Come on, remember?
Yes, right.
Okay. Now, we're sanctified. He not only redeems us, he sanctifies us. Why? So that our body can become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so God can fill us with his glory.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 27, he says, there's a great mystery that has been hidden down through the ages, and that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah! God wants to fill us with his glory. He wrote to the church at Colossae in his second epistle, and he said, God's placed his glory in earthen vessels. That's us. That's our body. We are now the temple. It used to be at Shiloh. It used to be on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. But now you are the temple. And God wants to fill you with his glory. He wants to fill you with his glory. He wants to fill you with his glory. Listen, and this what does this do? This takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Do you know why they were naked and they didn't know it? It is because when God originally created them, he created them to be the temple of his glory and his Holy Spirit, and they were filled with it. Their body was so saturated with the glory of Almighty God and the radiance of God around them, they didn't even know they were naked. Which causes me to ask a question now. How many know if you have a personal opinion, that's just it. It's a personal opinion, right? Which means everybody else gets to have their own.
Sure.
Right? Can't preach personal opinion as doctrine.
Right.
That's where preachers get into trouble.
Amen.
They start preaching their personal opinion. They start preaching their personal convictions. And now the church is in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay? But I have a question. Just a question that I it's just one of those fun things that I get to do in Scripture. I wonder when Revelation chapter 19, when it talks about the bride of Christ is clothed in fine linen, pure and white. I wonder, is that because we get the glory back the way Adam and Eve got the glory back? Just a thought. Isn't it fun to be able to think things like that? Well, when are you going to know? When we get it. Don't preach that as doctrine. You can't. It's just fun to think about that. Oh, dear ones, listen. This is who you are. And tomorrow morning when I talk about the purpose of the church in the last days, it's going to connect directly with God's original design and intent. But you will never understand it if you don't know who you are.
Yeah.
So look at this with me. Go to the last slide for me. Or not? Yeah, there. Thank you. Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, has redeemed us to God's original design. Look at this. Okay, Jesus Christ came to the earth, came to the slave market. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary, and He became a man. Why did Jesus Christ come to the slave market? He was going to fulfill lutrao. And so He came, agorazo, He came to the slave market to buy slaves. But then here's this beautiful thing. He's redeemed you, but then He says, I no longer call you slave. I call you friend. Like He called Abraham friend. And because now we're redeemed, He brought us out of the slave market. But now He calls us. I got to keep going because I could preach for a whole nother hour. Jesus Christ paid the ransom price. Amen. He went to the cross. The wages of sin is death. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So Jesus Christ went to the cross and He shed His blood and He paid the ransom price. Latrao. Agorazao. And now Latrao. And then Jesus Christ took us from the market. And He adopted us into the family. He made us not slaves in His house. He made us sons and daughters. He didn't bring us to the house to be a slave. What did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas saith to Him, Lord, we don't know where thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But dear ones, that's the point. He's redeemed us out of the slave market. He came to the slave market to pay the ransom price. And after He paid the ransom price, He was taking us to His house. But not to His house to be a slave. He took us to His house, that where He is, there we may be also, because He means for us to be adopted sons and daughters, listen, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Himself. He has redeemed us to be in His house as redeemed sons and daughters of God and heirs of God. And He gives us the Holy Spirit as the what? The down payment. Every time you feel Holy Spirit move in you, it is God reminding you, you are a son and daughter. You are an heir of God. You are redeemed. Come on, live like a redeemed son and daughter of God. Church, what are you doing messing with the world? I've set you apart over here for exclusively holy use by my Father. You are a son and daughter. You are a king and a priest unto your God. Why are you over there living like the world, acting like the world, defiling yourself with same-sex relationships, defiling yourself with moral impurity, defiling yourself with the stuff of this world? When you are redeemed, you are sanctified, you are a son and daughter of God. Church, until we get that straight, the church in America will still be the mess it's in right now. But when the church knows who they are, they rise above it and they live like the redeemed. I got to quit. Can you tell this is big in me? That's the only way it's going to work. Stand with me, will you please? You're redeemed. May I ask you a personal question? Why are you letting the devil beat you up?
Come on. Yeah. Yep.
You're redeemed. Why are you still wrestling with that addiction? You're redeemed. Sir, why are you still trying to prove that you're worth something? You are redeemed. The highest price in heaven was paid for you. You're redeemed. What do you mean? You don't have worth. Sat with a pastor. One of the privileges you have when you get old is sometimes men look to you like as if you know something. This pastor and his wife came to me for help. Looked at me and he said, I have absolutely nothing to contribute to life. I am worthless. And my heart broke. Preaching the gospel all these years, he never learned the most basic truth. You're redeemed. Your worth and your value is there. It's who you are in Christ. You're redeemed. No one twisted God's arm to save you. Can I remind you? Before he ever made the earth, he looked down and he knew you by name and said, I love them so much, I will redeem them. I will not let them stay a slave. I will make them my adopted son and daughter. He loved you so much, sir. Wow. Sis, listen to me. If there's ever been a generation of sisters that needed to throw off the world and their ideology of womanhood, it's this generation. You do not find your worth and value in what you see on that magazine. That is a lie. That is a delusion. You need to declare it what it is. It is a delusion. And what you need to do is get your eyes fixed on Heavenly Father and hear His words say to you, oh, my daughter of Zion, I love you, and you are my cherished treasure that I keep under lock and key. You are my treasure.
Yeah.
You're my treasure. Yeah. You're my treasure. You're my treasure. Redeemed.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something very different for a revival meeting. Doing this very intentional and very purposeful. Tomorrow morning when I talk about the church and the purpose and the identity of the church, it's going to revolutionize. It's going to revolutionize how you view yourself and the mission of this house. And it's directly connected with what we're going to do right now. I'm going to ask every one of you in this room, every one of you, to meet me up here. I want to pray with you a personal prayer where you connect with who you are. I'm going to ask you to come. Stand up here with me. Sister, I'm going to excuse you from the keyboard, because I want you to get in on this prayer. I'm standing up here because I want to make room for you to come. I normally like to be right down there with you, but it's full. I'm waiting. I don't want anyone to miss this. Right now, it's you personally and the Lord Jesus. So I want you to close your eyes so that you can shut yourself in with just Him. Turn your hands loose and just get yourself focused. It's you and Jesus. And Jesus is saying to you, you are just as if you had never sinned. Father has no record of your past. The only record Father has is from the time of the cross to right now. There's no record. The only record in your file is you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the only record in your file. Now I want you to pause a moment and I want you to put that deep in your heart and mind and throw off all the condemnation. And listen to me, sis, throw off the shame. You are not a victim. You are no longer that rape victim. You are no longer that molested victim. That is not who you are. That is not your identity. That has been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. You are not a victim. You are a righteous, holy daughter of God. God didn't do that to you. He was not punishing you. That was a sinful person that did that to you. Almighty God was with you. And right now He says to you, you are redeemed. You have never been molested. You have never been raped. You are free from that shame. You are free from that brokenness. You are a healed, mended daughter of God. You are saved. You are sanctified. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are a redeemed daughter of God. You are a redeemed daughter of God. You are a redeemed daughter of God. Sir, you were never beaten. Sir, you were never rejected. Sir, you are a redeemed son of God. You have never been adulterous. You have never been immoral. You are a redeemed son of the living God. Your record only goes back as far as Calvary and the empty tomb. And you walked out of that empty tomb and your life of sin was left in there. You are free from it, sir. You are a redeemed son of the living God. You are the righteousness of Jesus. That is your identity, sir. Come on, lift your hands to Him. That is who you are. 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 That's your identity. That's who you are. Hallelujah. 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 And now He pours out His Holy Spirit on you to fill you with the glory. To fill you with the glory. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Let your spiritual language flow. If you have never spoken in tongues, right now receive it. The Holy Spirit rising up in you. The Holy Spirit wanting to speak through you a heavenly language. He is filling you with the glory of Almighty God. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. Receive it. Hallelujah. Shadadamaya to tola le katete. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Almighty God. Praise you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah. Oh, on earth is done. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tomorrow morning, I want to talk with you about the purpose and intent of the church and how it's directly tied to who you are, to your identity, and the authority that that gives you to accomplish what God has purposed. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about how your identity, who you are, gives you the power and the ability to stand. To stand firm in a world that's going crazy with tolerance and political correctness. How to stand. How to stand. Church, listen, in this generation, this is some of the most important teaching you will ever hear. And it's not man-made. It's why I give you these scriptures. And if you go, well, how can I trust this? Take those scriptures that I gave you tonight. And go, I'm not proof texting. You go and you look in their context. I am faithful to take a scripture in the context of its chapter, the context of its book, the context of its testament, and the context of the whole of scripture. So that it's balanced. It is the word of God that you can stand on and not the opinion of man. If I'm going to give you a personal opinion, I will tell you. But like I said, that means you get to have your own. And you can't build doctrine on it. And my personal opinion is not going to save anybody or give anybody the victory. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But when I give you the living word of God, dear ones, that is the word that will set you free. Ye shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Now the enemy, I'm speaking to maybe a handful of people right now, and it's very important that you hear this. The enemy is going to try and steal what you just gained and move you back into victimization. That is a lie. You throw off that condemnation. Yes. That is not your identity. Yes. Remember, your past or your present circumstances do not determine your identity or your future. It is your identity in Jesus Christ. Who you are in Jesus. And when the enemy comes with that stuff, you just go, I'm redeemed. And if God be for me, who can be against me? And if Jesus Christ has redeemed me, who are you to condemn me? I am redeemed. Come on, amen?